I want to explain our flowers on the altar today. They represent the family. Red flower, we offer that to the dad. It represents strength. And not the strength of a tyrant, but the strength of a loving leader. And it's his responsibility to make sure that there's love in the home. It's his responsibility to let the family know that ultimately their security is in Christ. And they want to see that through him. The white flower, we offer to the mom. It represents purity. Mom makes sure that everyone feels welcome in the home. Mom makes sure that everyone feels important and valued in the home. And it's her responsibility to let everyone in the home know that ultimately their value is found in Christ. Amen. The pink flower represents the child, combination of what they receive from the mother and from the father. And the child knows that they see the example in the mother and the father, and they know through them that they matter to God, that God loves them. They see that through their parents, and they find out that ultimately they are secure and significant in Christ. Doesn't matter how anyone else makes them feel, and it doesn't matter what anyone else tells them, they know that in Christ they are full, not empty, because they have all their security, all of their value in Christ. So that's the representation of our flowers, or the symbol of our flowers. And we are honored today to have a baby dedication. We're going to be dedicating Karai Faith Fasano to the Lord today. Just had her first birthday just this week, right? August 17th. 1 year old this week. The Fasanos have been a part of this church since 2007. That's amazing. It's like 9 years, right? It's amazing. I feel like I met you yesterday. Time going too quick. Rich is a contractor, and Kara is a dental assistant instructor. They both have played softball with us. I think Kara has played both for the women's team and for the men's team, actually, and is quite a ball player, actually. And because she works a lot of times at night, we will see Rich a lot of times come down to the field with the kids. And, even in between innings, feeding the baby with the bottle. Unless he's up at bat, then he hands it off to one of the mothers or the other. Usually we have some of the wives or girlfriends there watching the game, so he could hand them off, get up to bat, hit the ball a mile out of the park, and just come back and feed the baby again until the inning is over. So, but we are really thrilled to have him. And I dedicated Kiara probably about 7 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that. And it's 8 years ago. Yeah. And it's a blessing to see what a fine, young, beautiful lady that she's turning to be. Quite an athlete herself, especially with gymnastics. And you always see the love between the two sisters. She just is really, really a big help with her sister. And they're very, very close. And you always see that when you see them together. But we're going to ask them to come to the front, if you would, and bring Karai, and Kiki can come too if she'd like. She's hard to hold down. Karai, yeah. What's going on? Say hello to everybody out there. Hi, she's looking at me. Hi. Jesus said, never stop the little children from coming to me. He said, my kingdom belongs to little ones like these. And he said that he loved the children, and he often would come and lay his hands on the children and bless them. And so that's kind of what we want to do today. That's what we want to do today too. And I just want to say to Rich and to Kara that in presenting Karai today, you're saying that we have faith in Jesus. We believe in the Christian faith. We want her to know the Lord in her life one of these days. And we're going to do all that we can to bring her up in the Lord. So pray for her. Teach her the Bible. Bring her to church so she can wave to people. Just do all that you can with the help of God to bring her up in the training of the Lord. So I'm going to come down. I'm going to pray a prayer over her and dedicate her to the Lord. If the congregation would stand, if I could ask you to stand and ask you as the body of Christ, if you would commit yourself to pray for this family whenever they would come to your mind, whenever the Lord would bring you to their mind. They're such great people. I love them so much. I know that you do too. So just when the Lord brings them to mind, just pray for them. And now let's dedicate a cry faith to Sano. I'm going to come around. Hi, honey. You want to call her? Almighty God, our Father, we do here and now dedicate to you, cry faith for Sano, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, how we thank you for this dear life, Lord, this blessing, this gift that you have given to this family, Lord. I pray, God, that your blessing would be upon her, that you'd watch over her life, Lord, and you'd keep her safe. We pray, God, that you would draw her to your love. We pray, Lord, that you would protect this family and bless this family. I pray, Lord, for just all that you have done and will continue to do, that we would just continue to give you all praise and glory, Lord. Bless them, I pray. Thank you for them. And thank you for this time together. In Jesus we pray, in your name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Pastor. I love you. Mm-hmm. Let me take this thing off so I don't punch you. Thank you for your help. Bro. I love you, man. I love you too. These flowers are for you to take.
Thank you.
And someone made you this. Normally, I should announce this. Do you remember the guy Jerry Smith used to play with? Not Jerry, his name is Rob. Rob Smith used to play with us. His wife made this. Yeah, so this is for you. Can take this is her collaboration. Yeah, you can take it to play with him later. You can be seated. I should mention that the blanket that was knitted by Jerry Smith. I don't know if you remember Jerry and Rob Smith. They used to come to the church here, and Rob used to play on the softball team. So we thought it was kind of cool that that Jerry made the blanket. Woohoo! That was fun. The title of today's message is BFF. You know what that means, right? What's that? You have no idea? It means best friends forever, right? Best friends forever. Someone thought it meant beef or something, right? No. Let me read the scripture for today. It's from John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. This is from the New Living Translation. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. John is saying, besides the ones that I've recorded, that I'm recording and you're reading in my book, Jesus' disciples saw him do many other things. I just wrote about a few of them. But these things I wrote down, John is saying, these things are written so that you may continue to believe, or that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Because of who he is, you will have life. I have a few quotes I want to put up about best friends. Everyone has a best friend, I hope. And here's a few quotes about best friends that I want to share. So if we could put those up. First one says, we are best friends. Always remember that if you fall, I will pick you up after I finish laughing. Next one says this, we will always be friends till we are old and senile. Then we could be new friends. Best friends, they know how crazy you are and still choose to be seen with you in public. Friends only know a few things about you, but a best friend could write a very embarrassing biography about your life. If you don't have anything nice to say, well, then sit next to me and let's make fun of people together. That's what friends do, don't they? We'll be best friends forever because you already know too much. And then this one's pretty good. Without humor, life is boring. Without love, life is hopeless. And without friends like you, life is impossible. I can relate to that. Friends pick us up when we fall down. And if they can't pick us up, they lie down and listen for a while. A real friend is someone who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. A friend is someone who can see the truth and pain in you even when you are fooling everyone else. Best friends, it's a promise, not a label. And the great C.S. Lewis said this about friendship. He said, friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, "What? You too? I thought I was the only one." We all have friends, and then we have best friends. And I think the difference is that a friend will call you and say, "Could I come over and visit?" And a best friend just shows up and then goes in your refrigerator and takes what they want to eat. So there are friends and then there are BFFs, best friends forever. They go with you to places that you don't usually go with other people. They'll do things with you that you don't really do with some of your other friends. They're just kind of special. They're the kind of friend that you can call even when you have nothing important to say or when you have very important things to say. They're with you through thick and thin. I like the quote that said that life would be impossible without them. I really think that that's true. Do you have a best friend? I hope that you do, because it's vital to have someone in your life that you could share your life with, that you could share things with, who will be there when you need them, will say the right things to you, not always maybe the things you want to hear, but the things that will help you, and you know that they're right. You get angry with them, but then you know you always make up because you know they're right. They're just trying to help you. They care about you and they love you. Well, today we're going to look at the Gospel of John. The word gospel means good news. And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, they all wrote a gospel. They all wrote good news. And that good news was about Jesus. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they kind of wrote like a biography. They kind of just told us things that Jesus did, how he was born and things that he did and miracles that he did and what happened to, you know, his arrest and his death and his resurrection. They kind of just wrote biography. John writes more of like a theology. He tells us a little bit more about Jesus, not only telling us a story of some of the things that Jesus did, but telling us who he is and why he did these things and what these things mean, why he came. John was a son of a man by the name of Zebedee. And Zebedee lived on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. You know how it is? You live on the north shore, you probably have a little bit of money, right? Well, he had a business. He had a prosperous business. He was a fisherman, had a fishing business. His son, John, and John's older brother, James, worked for their father as fishermen, probably maybe like managers, you know. And they also had hired hands that worked with them, and he had this prosperous fishing business, and that's what they did. Until one day, John started to follow another John, a John by that we call John the Baptist. And John started to follow John the Baptist, and he was there when John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, and he said, "Look, see that man there? That's the Lamb of God who's going to be sacrificed for the sin of the world. I'm going to become less. He's going to be greater." Well, James and John continued to work for their father Zebedee in the fishing business. That is until one day Jesus called them to follow him. And then they left everything and they followed Jesus. And in time, they became Jesus's BFFs, best friends forever. And I don't mean any disrespect when I say that. It's just that James and John, along with Peter, kind of became part of Jesus' inner circle. There was things that Jesus had them be with him at times when the other apostles weren't there. There were times that James and John and Peter were with Jesus and saw Jesus do certain things that the other apostles didn't see Jesus do, and they weren't with him for these things. And so I'm saying, you know, they were kind of best friends in a sense because they were part of this inner circle. And Jesus gave James and John a nickname, Boanerges. It meant sons of thunder. Sons of thunder. And he nicknamed them that, I think, because he saw their passion and he saw their boldness. And he called them, "You guys are sons of thunder." You know, best friends have nicknames for each other. John referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. I guess all the disciples could say that, but John, you know, when he didn't really identify himself when he wrote in this gospel. He didn't say, you know, "I am John." He said, "I'm the disciple that Jesus loved." Didn't even mention his name, his own name. He just said he was a disciple that Jesus loved. And John tells us that the followers of Jesus, that's who the disciples are. Disciples are followers. And in this case, they were followers of Jesus. And John was one of them. And he tells us that they saw many miraculous things that Jesus had done. Many more things than John said that I even wrote about. In addition to the things that I've put in my gospel, in my writings, the disciples saw him do many more things. But I just picked out a few of them that I saw Jesus do. And so John is not writing because other people said, told him what they saw, and then John said, "Oh, really? Let me write that down." John was there. I was an eyewitness to these things. He saw Jesus do these things. And he also tells us of the purpose of recording these things that Jesus did. He saw them as signs. John says, "I see these things that Jesus did as signs, and I wrote them down for you." And he tells us specifically the purpose of writing these things down. He says, so that you would believe. "By these things that I saw Jesus do, I've taken them as signs and I'm writing them down to tell you these things so that as you read them, you'll believe them, and as believing, you will know that," and what you would believe is that Jesus is the Messiah, the one that we've been waiting for, the Savior, and that he is God himself, the Son of God. And I want you to believe that, because if you believe that, you will find life in his name. You know, our name kind of identifies who we are. And so he's saying, you'll find life in Jesus because of who Jesus is. When he says in his name, you'll find life in his name, he's saying, you'll find life in who Jesus is. Because that's what, our name identifies us. Did you ever notice that the beginning of the Gospel of John is very similar to how the Bible begins in Genesis chapter 1? And I think this was deliberate on John's part. And here's how it starts. First, let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And this is how the Bible starts. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then it goes on. It says, "And God said," and just from saying it, he created the heavens and the earth. Now look at the beginning of John's gospel. John chapter 1, he says, "In the beginning, the Word." The Word already existed. "The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed with God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him," the Word of God. Jesus is called the Word of God, and he created everything through his Word. Everything was created through him, and nothing was created except through him. And that Word became human, and he lived on this earth for a while among us. And so in Genesis chapter 1, the first book of the Bible, God is presented as speaking creation into being. How's that for power, right? just saying it, and it is. Let there be, and there was. And God speaks, and it happens. Let there be light. Let there be moon and stars. Let there be sun. Let there be plants. Let there be animals. Let there be man. And it happened. Everything seen and unseen was called into being by God's spoken word. John tells us that word became human. That word, which is God, became human. So Genesis presents God as speaking creation into existence. John presents God as speaking salvation into existence. This time, God's word takes on human form. It enters history in the person of Jesus. Jesus speaks the word and it happens. Let there be, he speaks. He speaks to water and it becomes wine. Not cheap Manischewitz wine. Real fine wine. He speaks to bodies and there's healings. Blind eyes see, lame walk, the dying live. He takes 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fish and he speaks so that they are multiplied, that those 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish would feed 5,000 people, actually probably more like 10,000 or more. He speaks to a storm and it calms. It obeys his word and calms. He speaks forgiveness and lives are changed and hearts are made pure and have peace. God speaks salvation into being through the person of Jesus. And Jesus not only speaks the word of God, he is the word of God. And so in our text today, it says that disciples saw many miraculous things that Jesus did. And John says, and I'm just writing about a few of them. In addition to what I'm writing, we saw a lot more. But I'm just writing about a few things. I'm really not writing a biography, not really so much telling all about his life. I want you to know that these things I put down because I want them to be signs to you. I want you to see something from these things that I specifically pick certain things, and I want you to see a sign in these things that I've written. And what I want you to see is that I want you to believe these signs, that these signs point to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. I want you to believe that. I want you to know. I want you to read these signs and believe them, and so that you'll know that it's true, that he's the Messiah, the Son of God. And by believing, you'll have life. So I want to pick out some key words now from that text, from John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And I want to just talk about some of the key words in that text. First words I want to look at is miraculous signs. Miraculous signs. It says the disciples saw Jesus do many miraculous signs. Verse 30. And the Greek word that John picks there and uses there means sign by which someone is known. A sign by which someone is known. There's different words in the Greek language that John could have picked, but he picks this particular Greek word that means a sign that by which someone is known. If I told you that Rich Fasano was a good contractor, you'd say, well, how do you know? So I see some signs. I've watched him work. He does fine work. Not shoddy stuff. He doesn't just slap something up or try to find some way to just make it be all right. He does nice work. I've seen his work. He even cleans up after himself. Everybody likes a carpenter that cleans up after themselves. But those are signs. Just if I say, you know, how do you know? Well, here's these signs. I have these signs that prove, you know, that's what this is. That's what this word means. It became later on also to mean wonders and miracles as well as a sign. And John's purpose in using this word was certainly it was to refer to the miracles that Jesus performed, some only recorded in John's gospel, by the way. But it also came to give us a clue of the answer to the question, why did John record these miracles, these signs? And the answer is that we might have faith that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. John saw these miracles as a sign of proof that Jesus was who he was claiming to be, God, the Son, the Savior of the world. And so John gives us these miraculous, he recorded these miraculous signs that we would believe. And that's the next word I want to look at, the word believe. It says in verse 31, but these things I wrote so that you may believe and continue to believe. Believe is a key word in the Gospel of John. And you know, I don't know if he actually uses the word faith much. John doesn't. But he uses believe a lot. Now, faith, to be faith, has to have three elements in it. Faith has to include belief, trust, and loyalty. If you have faith, you have to believe. You have to really rely on what you're saying you're believing, trust, and then you have to show loyalty to that thing that you believe. Do it. And faith, to be genuine, must have all three of those things. If your faith just has one of those things or two of those things, not faith. It has to have all three of those. Belief, trust, and loyalty. I heard someone compare it to gunpowder. I know it sounds kind of weird, but I heard someone compare this to gunpowder, which is a mixture of saltpeter, sulfur, and charcoal. And if it's missing any one of those elements, it's not gunpowder. It won't work. It's the same thing with faith. To be genuine, it must consist of belief, trust, and loyalty. In what? In whom? In this, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. That's the third thing I want to look at. There's signs that we will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. It's our personal response to the one whom the Father sent, the Word who became human. John records that he saw in Jesus, signs that you will believe that he's the Savior, that he really is God, that he really came to do what we're saying, what I'm telling you he came to do. I saw these things, I saw these signs, and I'm telling you he is the Savior, the Lord, God, Messiah, Son of God. I want to take a look at what precedes our text from today. If you just look back in chapter 20, just a few verses, in verses 27 and 29, it has the encounter that Jesus has with Thomas right after Jesus arose from the dead. And it says there, then Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand where the wound in my side is, and don't be faithless any longer, but believe. And then Thomas exclaims, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus said to him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. John wants to convince us so that we will come to that place where we proclaim that Jesus is my Lord and my God. Why? Because that's where life is. That's the next word I want you to look at. So that believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. The word life is used 36 times by John in his gospel. In addition to that, he uses the verb live another 16 times. And in addition to that, there's three more times that he uses a word that means to make alive. Another theme in John's gospel, life. It's evident that it's a major theme. Eternal life, he talks about. Abundant life. the bread of life, the water of life, the way, the truth, and the life. These are just some examples of the way that he uses life in his gospel. And his goal is to portray Jesus as God who became flesh, became human, to save those who believe in him. And the result of faith is in Jesus is life, abundant and eternal. And John's purpose in writing was so that the reader, through achieving faith, would become a recipient of eternal life, which begins the moment you put your faith in Jesus. Look at one of the most well-known and popular verses in the Bible. It's also found in John's Gospel, John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There's no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And so John, who refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved, says that you too can be a disciple that Jesus loves. I encourage you to take some time on your own and read the Gospel of John and discover Jesus' abundant and eternal life and realize that by grace, grace is a gift that you don't deserve. Someone just gives you something even though you don't deserve it. By that gift, you become a BFF, a best friend forever with Jesus. Let's pray together. Let me give you a moment to just have some silent time with the Lord, just you and him, just quiet time with him. Maybe he wants to speak to you more specifically. You just need to listen. What is he saying to you? What is that thought that's coming to your mind? Maybe a reoccurring thing he's bringing back to your mind. He wants to be in a relationship with you. He wants to continue in a relationship with you. If you will believe, trust him and be loyal to him. Be a BFF. He'll give you life. I'll close in prayer in a moment. Just spend a little quiet time with the Lord. You would please stand with me. I just want to close in prayer. Let's continue in praying together. I'm wondering if there is someone here today who has never put their faith in Jesus. Maybe you believe, but you don't really trust, or you haven't been loyal. And today you're thinking, you know, I believe that he is God, the Savior, my Savior. And I want to believe and trust him and be loyal to him. And if that's the attitude of your heart, God doesn't really care what you say when you pray. He really just cares of how sincere you are in the words that you're saying. And if you sincerely want Jesus in your life, if you want the life that he can give you, an abundant life, an eternal life, all you have to do is ask him for it and believe. And so I just want to say a prayer for you, and then we'll just have a closing prayer as well. That my Lord and my God, Jesus, I believe that you are God and that you are Savior, and I want you to be my Savior. I ask you to forgive anything I've done that's wrong, and come and put your Spirit in me. Forgive anything I've done that's wrong. I believe, and come and put your Spirit in me. I believe, Lord, and I will trust you, Lord. And I will seek to be as loyal to you as I can. I know I might fail, Lord, but I know you'll forgive me if I do. But Lord, I want to put you first in my life. I really want to follow you. I want to be known as a disciple that you love. I want to be known as a best friend forever with Jesus. And so, Lord, I'm asking by faith that you would come into my life and give me eternal life right now by the power of who you are. Lord, I thank you for those who are making that commitment to you today. I pray as they go back and they start to read from the Gospel of John, Lord, that you would use that to speak to their hearts and help them to grow in their faith. And Lord, I pray that all of us, Lord, would continue to believe and would continue to trust you and be loyal to you, Lord, and follow you, Lord. I pray, God, that you would bless each and every one that is here today, each and every family that's represented here today. I pray, Lord, that we would go into this new week in the power of your Spirit, Lord, that we would allow you to live in us and through us, that people would see that we're different. People would see our faith. And if they would ask us, we would know what to say. I have Jesus in my life. I know I don't always get it right, but Jesus is in my life. He forgives me. He's the Savior. We've seen signs. We believe it. We pray that many more, Lord, would come to know you and find the hope that's in Christ. And so, Lord, we pray your blessing upon us as we leave here. Bless our fellowship downstairs as we linger and talk with one another and have some refreshments together and just share our lives with each other. And just bless the remainder of this day and this new week, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for loving us so much that you are willing to come, to become human, to give your life so we could have life. Lord, it's an incredible story that we'll never, ever forget. And we will thank you and praise you forever and ever for it. So again, Lord, we thank you for this time. Bless us as we go. And Jesus, I pray in your name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great week.